What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I'm your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by my very good friend, Pat Fitzmaurice of Fantasy Pros. He can be found on Twitter at Fitz_FF. Pat, it is so good to see you, my friend. How are you today?
Oh, Yates, the feeling is mutual. I mean, we don't get to talk on the regular like we used to, but, it's always great to catch up.
I was thinking earlier today, I was like, I don't know anything about Pat's opinions on redraft this year, which is super weird. Like, we haven't talked any redraft. We've talked Dynasty. I had you on the podcast a while ago. Yes. We were doing a Dynasty startup mock draft or something like that. I don't know any of your opinions on redraft this year. So this is going to be a fun conversation here. We're talking risky picks here on the show today, and we have a ton of stuff to get to before we can get to that. Let's get right into a question of the day here for you, Pat. Who is one player that you're sticking your neck out for this year? Another way to ask this question would be, who is one player that you are dramatically higher on than the consensus, it seems?
Oh, man, I'll give you one, Yates, and it seems like I'm sticking my neck out further and further by the day on this guy. Antonio Gibson.
Ooh, okay.
Like, I know people have concerns about the depth chart with McKissick taking the passing down work and Brian Robinson maybe chopping up some of the early down and goal line work, but ultimately, you've got a guy who's as big and as fast as Jonathan Taylor, who has scored double-digit touchdowns in his first two seasons, who is a former college wide receiver, so we know he's capable of catching passes, and who's so tough that he played with a cracked freaking shin bone last year. Like, man, I don't want to fade this guy just on, like, what the projected usage is this year. Like, I don't want to make any assumptions about that. What if Robinson or McKissick gets hurt and Gibson is forced to take on a bigger role? Like, no matter what, I think it's suboptimal if the Commanders are going to give him anything less than 12 touches a game. 12 touches would be disappointing, but at least you could still flex Antonio Gibson every week if sure. He's getting 10 to 12 touches a game. Anything less would just be crazy of the Commanders, I think. And I think there's a chance he just goes out and earns more. Like, this is a superior athlete. I know the fumbling thing is scary, but, like, you know, Tiki Barber used to be a fumbler until he wasn't. So I'm not too freaked out about that. I'm betting on the talent and athletic profile here.
This is the difference between everything that we're hearing with beat reporters and the news and everything like that versus the talent level and what we have seen on tape previously. There is going to be a massive divide here with Antonio Gibson as we move further into the preseason, unless we get some clarity here. Like, week two of the preseason, we see Antonio Gibson out there with the starters and we just have that official clarity. I just don't know if we're going to have it. So Antonio Gibson can absolutely prove people wrong this year, as people, and myself included, are ticking him down the rankings. But he is someone that has the talent level. We know that. He has the talent level to be a top five running back for fantasy football. It's a matter of the volume there. For me, that player is Allen Robinson. This has been someone that over the course of the entire offseason I've been higher on and just continuously saying to people, like, the opportunity is there with LA. Let's continue to buy in. I know it's going to be tough to buy in. And his ADP has slowly ticked up, but he is still an incredible value in drafts. Allen Robinson for me there is one player that I am sticking my neck out for this year. All right, let's get into... Whew, man, we got a lot of latest news here to run through, presented by Sleeper. Download the Sleeper app to get the latest breaking news here from Sleeper. Get that competitive advantage over your league mates. You can find a link to download that here in the YouTube description, over in your show notes on podcast as well. Saints coach Dennis Allen said that wide receiver Michael Thomas is going to be ready to go when the season starts. So there have been a lot of questions about if Michael Thomas is going to be ready to roll. He is going to be out there for week one of the NFL season. ESPN's Rich Cimini reports that there were no surprises with Zach Wilson's knee surgery. So this is something where we're expecting week one, week two of the NFL season, not to have Zach Wilson out there. Joe Flacco revenge game narrative out there in week one. Not a huge drop off as far as the fallout here for the Jets pass catching or receiving options. Drew Lock tested positive for COVID-19 and will miss the preseason game against the Chicago Bears. The Athletic's Daniel Popper reports that running back Joshua Kelly appears to be firmly in the lead to back up Austin Eckler. Pat, I'll throw this one to you here really quick. Is this someone where we should really be starting to move Joshua Kelly up the rankings? I feel like we've fallen for this before.
That's kind of how I feel too. Yeah. It's like, I'm sort of out. Like, Kelly just has not impressed. Like, he just does not flash anything really when you watch him. So, I don't know if it's one of those things where they just, the Chargers are kind of burying their rookies, but I think it's only a matter of time before Isaiah Spiller takes that over. Like, I've seen enough of Josh Kelly to be a non-believer.
Right. He's someone to keep an eye on here as we move throughout the preseason. If it really is Isaiah Spiller is continuing to run with the third team or whatever, then that's something where it'll be interesting to keep an eye on here. Maybe take a late round flyer on Josh McKelly just to see how things play out. But it could also be something where that role is split between the two of them. You know, we could see Isaiah Spiller and Josh McKelly out there, which just completely eliminates the possibility for fantasy relevance for the two of them. Mecole Hardman, the wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, suffered a, quote, groin spasm in Chiefs practice Wednesday, and Juju Smith-Schuster also suffered a knee injury. It sounds like Hardman's injury is a little bit minor here. He should be returning here pretty soon. Juju Smith-Schuster reported to come back early next week, so we will keep an eye on that situation. Darren Waller, who's been dealing with a hamstring injury, returned to practice on Wednesday. Speaking at Wednesday's practice, Melvin Gordon said, and quote, they want Javonte Williams to be the guy. This is one that I have. Javonte Williams has been literally, I think, in every running back ranking spot outside of number one overall over the course of this preseason for me. I think I've had him at high as number two at one point and then all the way down to 15, 16. So, Pat, I'll throw this to you. Did this move the needle for you on Javonte Williams, and where is he currently in your rankings?
So I think I had kind of prematurely I bumped him up to running back 9 a couple of weeks ago, and I have not moved him up any further because I think I want him to be like the first guy below that tier 2. So I've got like Taylor and CMC on the first tier, and then tier 2 ends with like DeAndre Swift, and I don't want to move Javonte any higher than that, although it's kind of tempting to sneak him into that tier now. But I'm still pretty good with him at running back 9. I think that's like, we don't know what the percentages are going to be, what that means. Does that mean 70-30, 60-40, 55-45? Probably not 50-50 again. And we know that Melvin Gordon is like still a really good player. Like he's just done nothing but produce when he's gotten the chance. So I don't think like Melvin Gordon is going to acquire cobwebs sitting on the bench or anything, but it is encouraging that, you know, maybe they're going to give Javonte, start shifting this thing in his favor a bit.
I think that's been the expectation for me all offseason, was that Javonte Williams was going to be the guy. But what does the guy mean? Does that mean 80% of the touches in this backfield? I really don't see that happening. So Javonte Williams, he did take a slight tick up in my rankings, but I've still got him as a high-end RB2. The talent level is there. If he does truly become the guy, he's going to be one of the biggest wild cards in fantasy this year, where if he does become the guy, he's going to smash his ADP. If he doesn't become the guy where he's getting more than 60% of the touches in that backfield, you could be disappointed that you spent that early, early pick on Javonte Williams this year. Ken Walker will undergo a procedure for his injury and will miss the remainder of the preseason. This was going back and forth. It's not a sports hernia, but it's also Pete Carroll, who just tends to look at injuries and, you know, through rose-colored glasses or whatever there. So this is something to keep an eye on here as Ken Walker. He's reportedly set to be back week 1. That's the expectation currently, but also it is Pete Carroll. So we have to keep that in mind that it could be week 4 before we see Ken Walker back out on the field. Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson told reporters that James Robinson is expected to be ready for week 1. This is absolutely incredible that he's going to be out there for week 1 here. Might not be 100% of himself, but he is currently a value in drafts with where he's going. And finally here, we got news of this right before we started recording. Deshaun Watson has reached a settlement and will be suspended for 11 games this year, along with paying a $5 million fine. So, Pat, Deshaun Watson, off the radar for me. Let me know if you think otherwise. In one quarterback leagues, QB3 that you're going to have to roster in super flex formats. But what does this do for the rest of the receiving options here? Does this make you enticed in Amari Cooper, knowing that we'll have a Deshaun Watson over the back end of the year, David Njoku? What's kind of the fallout from this in your perspective?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess I have been, I won't have to adjust much because I was kind of hedging somewhere between 6 and a full season, and that's pretty much exactly what we got. So it does give those guys a boost down the stretch in the most important fantasy games of the year when you're getting a guy who has pretty consistently finished as a top 5 fantasy quarterback whenever he's given us a full season. So, and boy, yeah, it's like I've been doing drafts lately and I've gotten a couple shares of Amari Cooper right around wide receiver 35. Oh, like wow. that's how far his stock has fallen. You had the Kings Classic in Canton, Ohio, and that's a room full of really smart people. I got him at wide receiver 35, and I just got him in the flex draft, like the flex best ball draft, as my 4th receiver at wide receiver 34, yeah. I think. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's actually kind of a draft value right now. And like, I know Jacoby Brissett isn't great, but the dude can at least throw a spiral. You know, how far are we dropping Amari Cooper because of this? And Njoku, yeah, you mentioned him too. I think if you kind of let the tight end position get away from you a little bit and don't go for a top tier guy, he's pretty intriguing. And, you know, Watson's return late in the season could give him a nice boost come playoff time.
Do you think you're one of the best at fantasy football? It's time to challenge yourself this year by going over to Dynasty Owner. Dynasty Owner is the new way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding the strategy of running an actual franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique and challenging experience that will test your skills as an owner and general manager. You will have complete control over your team's future. You can build through the draft, make trades, sign free agents, and manage your team's salary cap. Can you create a dynasty of champions? Sign up now at dynastyowner.com and get started on building your dynasty. Use promo code PLAYBOOK for $10 off of your next team. Again, that's promo code PLAYBOOK for $10 off of your next team at dynastyowner.com. Amari Cooper is a top 24 wide receiver off the board. No, count me out. But at that current value, yes, I will absolutely take that. And David Njoku at where he's going in drafts currently as well. He is outside the top 15 tight ends and last time I checked in ADP there. So David Njoku, Amari Cooper, both guys that I think are still worth drafting there. The fallout here for me is that any other player that we've been hyping up on the Browns or at least talking about, the Donovan Peoples-Jones, the David Bells, like these other guys, those really tend to fall off just a little bit here. Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, they're both fine at the current ADP. But otherwise, those other ancillary options there are really ones that I'm not looking to invest in here this year in drafts. All right, it is not too late to prepare for your fantasy football drafts this year by going over to the ffplaybook.com/memberships. You can get a free 5-day trial to check out all the premium content that we have over here on the website. Make sure to go over and check that out, the ffplaybook.com/memberships. Get ready for your fantasy football draft with all of the insane content that we have over there for you. And you can find and follow the show over on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, @_theffplaybook. Ton of exclusive content going up there for you guys every single day. All right, Pat, let's get into this conversation here of risky picks. So what I wanted to do with this show is look at several players here. We've each got four names, eight total, that we are going to shine a spotlight here on that we think the average fantasy player, even the smarter fantasy players, might not be thinking about these guys as carrying a ton of risk. We want to kind of say there might be a reason to spin the narrative here on these players. So I'm going to throw it to you first. Who is that first player that when you think of a risky pick this year, they come to mind?
Yeah, Leonard Fournette, who I think maybe some people would think of as kind of a safe pick. But so Fournette, a big part of the reason for his spike in value last year was his role in the passing game. Caught 69 balls in only 14 games. And like he was that safety valve option for Tom Brady, who in his mid-40s doesn't want to get hit anymore. Like that's pretty obvious. Like at the slightest hint of pressure, he will unload that ball to his safety valve. And that was exclusively Fournette last year because Giovanni Bernard was hurt. And because we know Ronald Jones is a total catastrophe in the passing game. And Keyshawn Vaughn just wasn't ready to be on the field. So this year, they've got other options. Like Gio Bernard is there. He's healthy. I think he's healthy as of last check. And Rashad White, who they drafted and has been praised as a prospect for his pass catching and pass blocking ability, which is big. I mean, if you can't pass block for Brady, you're not going to get on the field. So there are other guys to go to, and maybe they will use those other guys because Fournette was not all that efficient last year, like 6.6 yards per catch and 4.9 yards per target. Pretty mediocre numbers. And actually, as many catches as he caught, as many balls as he caught, he did not top the 50-yard receiving mark in any game last year. So wouldn't be surprised if they went a different way. And oh, by the way, in the running game, their offensive line's been gutted. They lost both their guards, Alex Kappa in free agency, and Ali Marpet retired. Ryan Jensen, their center, with a knee injury that's going to keep him out indefinitely. Brady's status, like, yeah,
that's
maybe
super
he's
weird, man. I'm starting to get more and more concerned with that as each day goes along.
Yeah, like they didn't tell the media about this in advance. They said it was pre-planned, but like knowing that it was going to set off a wildfire of speculation when, oh, by the way, he's not going to be back for 2 weeks. Like something does smell kind of fishy here. And, you know, plus like Fournette's age 27. That's not ancient. I'm not super worried about the age, but there's probably not another level for him to go up. So a bunch of reasons why I'm totally off him this year.
Yeah, I think you look at Fournette, you mentioned the efficiency there, not even just last year with the 6.6 yards per reception, but the in 2019, 6.9 yards per reception, 2020, 6.5. So this is a player that has thrived on volume. Now, he can get it done with the rushing touchdowns, 8 rushing touchdowns last year on 180 attempts. He can still be that guy on the ground, but you're absolutely right that he made up for it last year with his work in the receiving game, 84 total targets last year, which is great. That's what you want. Is that going to be here this year? That's not exactly a guarantee. So I get why you're shining the spotlight there on Leonard Fournette, saying he might not be as safe of a prospect as we, or as safe as a player this year in fantasy as we would hope. I'm going to go to the wide receiver position here for my first player that I think is a risky pick this year. And I tweeted this out yesterday. I'm starting to get a little bit concerned with Diontae Johnson and his wide receiver 15 ADP off the board. And the reason, I mean, it's hard to argue with this, right? Diontae Johnson has been fantastic for fantasy football over the last couple of years. 313 targets over the last two seasons. To put that in perspective, Keenan Allen has had 304 targets. And we talk all the time about Keenan Allen's ridiculous target workload. Diontae Johnson has seen more targets over the last 2 years specifically than Keenan Allen, but that has been aided by the fact that the Steelers have finished first in overall pass attempts and fourth each of the past two seasons. They averaged 41 and 39 pass attempts per game in 2020 and 2021. What happens if Mike Tomlin wants to control the pace of play? What if he wants to lean on the run game more this year? Because you do have a little bit of uncertainty here with this quarterback position, right? Say whatever you want about Ben Roethlisberger. At his age and his experience, he could still diagnose a defense. He could still be able to understand where the ball needed to go. Now, getting the ball where it needed to go was a whole other aspect of Big Ben's game last year. But looking at Mitchell Trubisky, I'm a Bears fan. I've watched Trubisky very closely. That diagnosing the defense, not exactly his strong suit. Kenny Pickett, I really like coming out of Pitt. But he's a rookie quarterback. He needs some time to be able to develop there. And Mason Rudolph, we've seen the Mason Rudolph experience. Experiment. It doesn't work. So if they do lean on the run game more, if they control the pace of play here more this year, it is going to bring that overall pass attempts. We're not going to see 41 pass attempts per game, 39 pass attempts per game. It's not going to be in the range of outcomes here for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, unless that defense absolutely sucks. And I do not think that it's going to this year. That's a really solid defensive unit. There's also a lot of receiving weapons here in town. George Pickens taking a major step forward. Chase Claypool, who's also still in town. Pat Freiermuth, Najee Harris. If Diontae Johnson, if those overall pass attempts are going to come down, Diontae Johnson has to see a 25% plus target share week in and week out to be able to return value on that wide receiver 15 overall ADP. I don't think that that is necessarily something that's going to happen this year. I think there's a lower floor than a lot of people realize here this year with Diontae Johnson. So I've still got him at wide receiver 20. He's a low end wide receiver 2 for me. I feel very comfortable taking him there. That's not where he's going in draft. So I do think that he's a little bit riskier of a player that I wanted to point out here as the risky pick topic here. All right, let's turn it back over to you here, Pat. Your second risky player this year.
All right, another running back in Yates. I'll be interested to hear your take on this because it's a Bear. It's David Montgomery. And basically, it's just my concern about his usage with this new regime. Like, we saw Matt Nagy use him as basically a poor man's Matt Forte. Three downs, all facets of the game. He rarely came off the field. He was useful as a runner and as a pass catcher. Not a big play guy, but just piled up that volume and got his fantasy value that way, which is fine. But now this really seems like it's kind of headed toward a committee with Khalil Herbert and Treston Ebner. I don't know if you're excited about him, Yates, but man, he looked pretty good in that first preseason game. Yep. And they've been giving Montgomery special teams reps in training camp. That's kind of alarming. That's not a good sign for him getting workhorse usage going forward. We know the offense isn't going to score a lot of touchdowns. There are problems there. The offensive line is a big problem, maybe one of the worst in the league. I think he's just going to be overdrafted based on his past results, and the past results are largely usage-based. So I kind of think people should be drafting around David Montgomery this year.
I like the call. If your entire premise for a player and drafting them this year is, well, they're going to get volume. They're not going to be in a good offense, but they're going to get volume. Well, actually, they might not get as much volume as we anticipate this year. Now, Ebner, I think, is more of a 2023 guy versus like being a key part of this offense this year. Khalil Herbert, though, I've been pounding the drum for all offseason, saying he's going to get more work this year than you realize. And I have that built into projections here with David Montgomery. His ADP is RB18 off the board. Currently got him at RB22 in my rankings. So still someone low-end RB2. But when we're looking at him going above guys like Breece Hall, Travis Etienne, AJ Dillon in drafts currently. Like, I would take all those guys over David Montgomery currently because they have more upside than Montgomery if this does play out the way that we think it could. I don't see this offense with Luke Getsy, who has utilized multiple running backs in the past, leaning completely on David Montgomery this year, especially when you have talented other options here in this backfield. So I completely agree with you here. David Montgomery, a riskier pick than I think a lot of people realize. For me, I will go, let's go all the way up the draft board here. Let's go to Christian McCaffrey. And now people who are paying attention and who have played fantasy football over the past 2 years are like, yeah, Kyle, we know. Like, we've played fantasy football over the last 2 years. We know that Christian McCaffrey is a risky player to draft. And the reason why I wanted to include him here is because I got asked a question here just the other day of, should I draft CMC at the 101 over Jonathan Taylor? And while I have Christian McCaffrey at number 2 overall, I wanted to include him here in this conversation very quickly to be able to say and to bring the point that I responded with. If you draft CMC, there is 100% the upside that CMC could very easily finish above Jonathan Taylor this year. But if you do draft CMC over Jonathan Taylor this year, here is the scenario that you are opening the door for, where CMC gets injured yet again and Jonathan Taylor continues to run wild. That's going to absolutely ruin your fantasy football season this year, where you say, I got too cute. I played it too cute and I drafted CMC over Jonathan Taylor when I should have just taken Taylor and I knew that he was a safe and steady option. Now, I know that there's been conversations about Jonathan Taylor might see a decreased workload this year. He might not see, you know, the 309, I think, rush attempts off the top of my head that he had last year, right? So that's in the range of outcomes where Jonathan Taylor takes a step back from a workload perspective, but his ability to break off the long runs is still going to be there to return value as the RB1 off the board. I have very little questions about him. Everyone else in the running back core, running back position after Jonathan Taylor, I have major questions about. So I wanted to include Christian McCaffrey here to just say, I'm still comfortable taking him as the number 2 option off the board, the 102 in drafts. Don't get too cute though. Don't play this and try to outsmart the system here in taking Christian McCaffrey over Jonathan Taylor. If it goes wrong, you could absolutely be crushed and be wanting to check out come week 5 or week 6 if CMC does get injured again. All right, let's turn it back over to you here, your third risky player.
Buccaneers fans are going to hate me. It's because it's another Buccaneer. It's Mike Evans. And like, you would wonder about the risk for a guy who most people would consider to be one of the biggest lock slam dunks safety picks in the draft. A guy who's had 8 straight years since coming into the league of 1,000 yards, about, you know, 9 touchdowns a season over his career, and actually 27 TDs over the last 2 years. What's not to like? Well, like, I never let this bother me before. I've kind of reversed course. Like, Evans was kind of a target for me, like when the best ball rooms opened way back in February and March, especially with Godwin having the ACL, right, not having surgery till January 3rd. It's like, oh, wow, Evans, his targets are going to spike. But now all of a sudden, Godwin is coming back. They've got Russell Gage and they've signed Julio Jones. And in his first 6 years, Evans averaged 9.27 targets a game. The last 2 years, he's dropped down to 6.96. There's been some subtle, he's actually gotten more efficient the last 2 years, but we don't know if that's going to continue. We've seen the targets reduce themselves a little bit. And the other thing, I mentioned that O-line Yates and the Brady situation, both big things.
Oh, sure.
Evans runs deeper routes. His average depth of target last year was 13 yards. Like, the one place a quarterback does not, an immobile quarterback does not want to get pressures up the middle. And we talked about it. His center's hurt. His two guards are gone from last year. So is Evans going to have time to run those routes before Brady feels the heat? And, you know, we've seen quarterbacks, Yates, hit the wall, like have a good career late or a good year late in their career, and then totally slam into the age wall the next year. Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, it happened to those guys. Those guys are walk-in Hall of Famers. And, you know, who's to say it couldn't happen to Brady at an older age than those guys? I mean, no quarterback in the Super Bowl era has ever started a game at age 45. Brady would be the first.
Yeah, I think with Evans, early on in the offseason, I was buying in. I was very similar to you, where, and that's not been the case. In years past, last year I was talking about Mike Evans as a potential bust candidate because, okay, the target volume, not going to be there week in and week out. He's got to do it with touchdowns. Now, he proved me wrong by scoring, 14 touchdowns last year? You know, like, he absolutely was, and it became the patented, right? Like two targets, one reception for 2 yards, but he scored a touchdown and it saved his fantasy day. That was what we came to expect from Mike Evans last year. Well, now going into this year, I was saying, well, if Chris Godwin's not going to be ready to roll and Russell Gage, we'll see some work here. And then of course the Julio Jones addition, right? Well, Evans is still going to be fine. The closer that we get to hearing, like, Chris Godwin's probably going to be out there week one. He might not be at 100%, but he's probably going to be out there. Russell Gage, he's dealing with that hamstring injury, but he's expected back by week one. Julio Jones is going to be out there. So now we have a lot of target competition. And the points that you brought up there of the offensive line and Brady, the depth of target there, those are all very, very valid points, especially at wide receiver 9 off the board. If Evans was going in the spot that Deontay Johnson's going currently, then that's a different conversation, what I talked about earlier. But at wide receiver 9 off the board, definitely a lot more risk there than I think people realize. I will zip through this one. That's Elijah Mitchell here, the running back for the San Francisco 49ers. This one's pretty obvious, right? When Mitchell is on the field, he was fantastic last year. Mitchell averaged 13.4 half PPR points per game when he was healthy. The injury history, though, is concerning here for Mitchell, especially when we're talking about a player who has had a lengthy injury history going back into college, changed his body type from the last NFL season, going from the last college football season he played, going from 220 pounds down to 200 in an attempt to get faster here, get a little bit more explosiveness. Now, it worked, but when you're playing that position here and you're used to carrying 220 to 230 pounds, you go to 200, your body might not be able to handle that punishment as well. The injury history is concerning. Already dealing with a hamstring injury this preseason, and the best ability for fantasy football is availability, and that is not something that you can guarantee on and bank on here with Elijah Mitchell. On top of that, it's Kyle Shanahan. There's no guarantee that someone else isn't going to take over your job while you're sidelined. So if Mitchell does get injured 2 weeks into the season, Kyle Shanahan could be like, okay, Trey Sermon, you've been playing really, really well here, or Jeff Wilson, or Tyrion Davis Price, or someone they sign off the free agent market. Like, who knows with Kyle Shanahan, they could be the starting running back and Mitchell doesn't have a job when he comes back. So his ADP is fine. He's outside the top 24 running backs, I think, last time I checked. But it still carries a lot of risk here with Elijah Mitchell. It's not someone that I find myself drafting a whole lot this year. Pat, let's turn it back over to you here, your fourth and final riskiest player to draft in 2022.
All right, Yates, I'm going to butcher another sacred cow here. I think Keenan Allen is widely regarded as one of the safest investments in fantasy football you can make. Over 1,000 yards in 4 of his last 5 seasons, 100 or more catches in 4 of his last 5. But last year, 10.3 yards per catch. I mean, that's like a tight end type number. 7.0 yards per target. Oh, sorry, the last 2 years combined, 10.3 yards per catch, 7.0 yards per target. He's only had 2 career seasons with more than 6 TDs. So it's not like he's making big plays. It's not like he's scoring a lot of touchdowns. You're living on volume here. Well, I mean, what could shrink the volume? One is like the continued ascendance of Mike Williams, who last year through 5 weeks in half point PPR was the wide receiver 1. He was ahead of Cooper Kupp, but then he tweaked his knee in week 5. And, you know, his production really slowed down over the next month and a half while he was dealing with that. So Williams could demand more targets. Josh Palmer is pretty good as the wide receiver 3rd. He's an ascending young talent. And Yates, the Chargers were 3rd last year in pass attempts and 5th in Herbert's rookie year. Like, what could shrink that? Well, what if their defense is really right. good? And they have brought in Khalil Mack. They've got Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. They're going to have like the best edge rushing tandem in the league. They brought in J.C. Jackson at cornerback. They have arguably the best safety combo in the league in Derwin James and Nasir Adderley. Like, this D could be lights out. And if they're, you know, playing a different type of game where they're consistently holding opponents under 20 points a game, like, maybe we see a little less passing volume than we've been getting from them. So, I don't know if Allen is quite as safe as some people think.
I love the inclusion of his name here because it fits the whole theme of this episode, right? Is shining a spotlight on the players that we think are safe. And when we think about Keenan Allen, okay, well, maybe the upside's not there. Maybe the upside in this offense is completely with Mike Williams, but he's at least a safe option. We know the target volume is going to be there. Do we actually know that, though? Do we actually know that he's going to see as many targets as he's seen over the past 2 years? I talked about it with Deontay Johnson, 304 targets over the last 2 years for Keenan Allen. Do we see that type of workload again this year for him? Or do we see this defense take a step forward, which directly correlates to rush attempts, an increase in rush attempts per game as you're in those, you know, positive game scripts late in the games there. So that's something to keep in mind here with Keenan Allen, someone that A lot of people just continue to view as a safe option their wide receiver 10 off the board in ADP consensus currently. You're saying you might want to pump the brakes on the expectations for Allen this year. My final player here, I'll go a little bit further down the board there at running back. I will go with a player that dynasty managers are all in on, and I have been a little bit lower on all offseason. That's James Cook, the running back for the Buffalo Bills here. I think that James Cook carries a lot more risk than people realize. And now he's not going off the board as a top 24 running back, but I do think that people have some sky-high expectations for him. Even earlier on today, right before we started recording, we got an alert from Sleeper saying that this Buffalo backfield is looking like it's shaping up as a three-man committee here. We could see Zach Moss. We could see Devin Singletary. We could see James Cook. And now people are talking about Cook potentially stepping in and being the main option in this backfield. I don't see that happening for a player who's 190 pounds. I don't see that, especially when Devin Singletary was pretty effective last year. Also, looking at the new section of the website that we just launched this last week, per the Fantasy Playbook research section, Josh Allen led all quarterbacks last season in third down rushing yards by over 100 yards. So on third down, Josh Allen was looking to tuck it and run. If he had that opportunity to be able to pick up that yardage himself, he was going to do it. And he did it last year and beat all quarterbacks by over 100 yards in those situations. That's what they brought James Cook in for, was to be this guy on third down as a third down receiving back, a receiving weapon here. But when you've got a quarterback who has the ability, it's not just a check down guy. He's not playing with Mac Jones in New England. He's going to be with Josh Allen, who, given the choice between a 5-yard dump off pass or a 40-yard frozen rope deep downfield to Stephon Diggs or Gabriel Davis on third down, Allen's going to choose the latter, or he's going to pick it up himself with his rushing mobility. So if you're talking about a zebra changing his stripes, I think James Cook then could be someone that is fantasy relevant and returning value on where he's going in drafts. Otherwise, I think there's a lot more risk here carrying with James Cook going into this year than a lot of people are realizing, and I wanted to point that out. All right, Pat, thank you so much for carving some time out here talking about some players that are definitely risky to draft this year in 2022. It is so good to talk to you, my friend. Why don't you let everyone know what you got going on over at Fantasy Pros and where they can find you and more of your work?
Yeah, Yates, thanks so much for having me. It's great to catch up. People can find me on Twitter at Fitz_FF. Find all my stuff on fantasypros.com and check out my weekly podcast, Fitz on Fantasy, where I think someone named Kyle Yates might be making an appearance before too long.
I am looking forward to that one, certainly. All right, remember to get ready for your drafts this year, go over to the ffplaybook.com/memberships. Take advantage of that free 5-day trial. Check out everything that we have there over in the premium content. Get into the Discord here, get involved here in the community, and get ready for your drafts this year. They're coming up quick. All right, that'll do it for Pat Fitzmaurice. I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.